You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio. I am your host, Mike, and joining me back again after, well, bit of illness and then work complications, Ken. How are you doing tonight, Ken?
Hey, I'm doing wonderfully great. How are you, Mike? Yes, it was a couple weeks of mishaps.
Yes. So, we're going to cover some Guardians of the Galaxy news because the trailer dropped this week. Along with some intro, you know, like 30-second intros to the characters as well. We got some Fantastic Four news.
And I was going to say ah to that one, but no, I can't go ah.
No, we can't go ah. I think Han Solo said it best. I got a bad feeling about this.
A dreaded feeling about it. It's dreadful.
Very dreadful. Of course, we have our comic books for February 26th, which is the last new comic book day of the month of February. And we also have some Toy Fair news, because Toy Fair was this past weekend.
Yes, it was.
So, let's get right into it. ABC is doing a crossover with Marvel with their show Revenge. Yes, and they're putting out a graphic novel.
The Secret Origin of Emily Thorne.
So, it's, this seems interesting. Emily Thorne is a recent addition to the Hamptons social scene. This is one of those I wish my wife was around. You know, she's off in the other room.
You haven't watched the show?
I do not watch the show.
I've seen a couple of episodes. It's not bad, but, you know.
But, you know, well, Emily Thorne's real name is Amanda Clark. And at age of 9, the Graysons and their elite social circle framed Amanda's father for a horrific crime that he didn't commit.
Say it ain't so.
It's not so.
Maybe what? It is.
Maybe so. It is. Now, 20 years later, Amanda has returned under the assumed identity to wreak havoc on the lives of those who stole her childhood and betrayed her father. Dun, dun. Duh.
Why is it assumed identity if she's going by that identity? There we go.
No. The book, Revenge, The Secret Origin of Emily Thorne, follows Amanda as she sets out on her first mission of revenge. She trains in Japan.
Everybody that kicks butt trains in Japan.
It's because China, there's too much control. I don't know.
Well, you make me want to sing.
But she also finds herself infiltrating a high society of excess and intrigue in Geneva, Switzerland.
The high society and excess known in Geneva. Okay.
There she uncovers.
I thought that's where everybody's neutral. See what I did?
I think they are. Yeah.
See what I did?
Yeah, right there. Right, 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 yeah, right there.
I got it right there. Yeah.
There she uncovers new secrets. See there, not there, but there. She uncovers new secrets about the past while preparing for her future. Ooh. And now we're doing Battle of the Atom. We got the past, future, or X-Men Days of. This is Revenge, Days of Future Past.
I guess so. You forgot to mention something. This thing is 112 pages long.
So it should make a good read. So, what, 112 pages? Take that into actual book form with all your descriptions and everything. You'd be looking, what, about 250, maybe?
I don't know.
If you cover it?
I'll let you figure that one out.
I could be lying. It could turn into like a 50-page book, that one. This graphic novel brings together the best creators in the industry, including Revenge series writer Ted Sullivan, writer Erica Schultz.
But the best creators, I had never heard of them before.
Interior artist we'll just call him Vince. Vincenzo Balzano. There you go. With cover artist David Wynn, who did Batman.
It's Dustin.
Or Dustin Wynn. Sorry. And my apologies to Dustin.
Nguyen.
No, it's Wynn.
I know.
I watched World Series of Poker. It's Wynn. But he did Batman and American Vampire Lord of Nightmares.
Still haven't heard of him.
Dustin, I've heard of. Most of the others, I don't. Erica Schultz.
God.
What a night, folks. Sorry, I'm still...
You got the mask in here?
I'm still recovering from the U.S. blowing a 2-0 lead in the third period.
Hey, spoilers.
And this is Saturday. So at this point in time, it's already happened.
Oh, okay, I thought you were giving away something from tonight.
But,
okay.
But we're recording on Thursday night, so the game happened earlier today.
Okay.
So, but it's Saturday.
I forget this, that we're, you know, it doesn't play till Saturday. Sorry. I'm a spoiler for me.
Erica Schultz says the story takes us way back, but to before Emily had any experience in her takedowns. She makes mistakes, she learns from some of them, but as you'll see, she has a hard time learning some lessons, and fans of the show will be pleased to pick up on a few Easter eggs hidden here and there. So, the Easter Bunny's hidden around the corner of the fifth house?
He's been waiting. Hey, before you got to read this next sentence, as it is written, with enthusiasm and excitement.
Emily is a comic book character.
You need more excitement.
Faster, more intense.
He exclaims.
Wait, that's Lucas.
He exclaims.
She has a secret identity.
Oh my God!
She poses as a rich socialite who exacts revenge for a childhood tragedy. Even her famous dark hoodie is a type of superhero costume. No, we're not going there.
Was she a superhero before the TV show? This is a prequel?
Apparently this is a prequel. Because it's the Secret Origins.
So none of it really happened. Okay, never mind. Yeah. I'm not even going to go into it.
And with the dark hoodie? No, we're not going there either, considering where we live.
I wasn't talking about that. I was just talking about how come she doesn't do any of the superhero stuff in the TV show. Maybe, I guess she's just chilling out now, I guess.
So she has all the classic comic book tropes that make her and her adventures a perfect fit for an original graphic novel with Marvel. So,
with a mix of suspense, action, suspense, romance, and revelations. Revenge, the Secret Origin of Emily Thorne, is a thrilling ride into the previous unexplored past television's most dynamic and dangerous girl next door.
So, this will arrive in your comic book stores, in your bookstores, except for, well, no, Books A Million will be carrying it. On September 3rd of this year.
I thought Barnes & Noble stopped carrying comic books.
It was Books A Million, and they're just stopping the monthly issues. They're still going to carry the trades, and they're still going to carry the graphic novels. So this will be available everywhere in September 3rd. And also, too, to note, outside of the Marvel Universe, Revenge returns with all new episodes Sunday, March 9th. So,
on ABC.
On ABC at 10 p.m. So, this is what kills me. The Olympics are on NBC, and we know notoriously how bad NBC's coverage is. Why does everyone need to just stop for 2 weeks and not put out new shows? Just do it.
Because the Olympics, well, they're...
Just do it. I mean, NBC's coverage
is awful. Well, I mean, I don't know, because... Yeah, but still, other stuff has suffered because of... Ratings have suffered because of the Olympics being on already, so... Like, well, The Tonight Show.
Well, that's because it's not as normal slot.
Well, actually, I think it did good because of the Olympics, because he had Olympic guests on. And then I don't know. Don't listen to me. What do I know?
Well, he's had the cat, you know.
I thought he took a hit.
For a first week with transition, I mean, he's had the captive audience who've gone from the Olympics to the news. That's another
topic.
Well, let's get back on topic.
Yes.
Let's do our picks for this week.
Okay, let's do them.
And, so, this week, we checked prior to show, and we're actually doing real good. We actually have six issues for you. And, go ahead, and why don't you start off, Ken?
Let me start? All right, I'll start. I'm going to go with George Romero's Empire of the Dead, Act 1, Number 2. It's published on February 26th, of course, and it's zombies versus vampires with humans caught in the crossfire. And, of course, it's in New York, of course, which is always gets screwed up somehow. New York years after the eruption of an undead plague, a city not only teeming with roaming zombies, but also ruled by vampires. Meanwhile, in the pit of the bloody circus, Maximus, can anything stop the unchained fury of a zombie gladiator? Kind of sounds cheesy. Known as Zanzibar. I am Zanzibar, the zombie gladiator. Plus, it's a terrorizing team-up. Oh, well, variant cover forms. George Romero unites with Arthur Sweden. So that's my first pick.
Very cool.
Oh. Obviously, when I made the pick, I didn't read down far to see the zombie gladiator.
Well, my first pick for the week is Fantastic Four number 1.
Again?
But wait, didn't we just save a couple weeks ago Fantastic Four was done?
I don't know, I'm confused.
Well, the world's greatest comics magazine. Okay, that might be a stretch. That might be a stretch.
Probably, yes.
Begins anew with Marvel's first family, the Fantastic Four. But as the brilliant Mr. Fantastic, the compassionate Invisible Woman, the ever-loving Thing, and the hot-headed Human Torch embark on a strange mission. They aren't met with the new beginnings, but an untimely end, as the family of cosmic explorers head towards their darkest hour. Who could possibly be behind their downfall? How is this?
The writers?
And how is one of the oldest enemies, the sadistic dragon known as Fing Fang Foom, involved?
Are you kidding me?
Prepare for the fantastic. Now, the reason why I picked this book is because of the two variant covers. You got the young variant, where I guess it's going to be Fantastic Four, kind of done toddler style, by Scotty Young.
Cool. It's got Katie Cook.
And then Katie Cook's doing the animal variant.
And so is Alex Ross. Wow. Okay.
So
that would be the only reason to pick it.
For me, of the three covers, I mean, I like Scotty's work. Even though it's kind of Marvel's almost overplaying him a little bit, I do love his work. It's Katie Cook. It's that's the cover I would pursue. So I'm hoping my local comic book shop, Coliseum of Comics in Kissimmee, I hope they have the Kitty Cook variant.
Okay.
Number two pick.
Okay. Number two is Inhuman number two. And it is Matt Fraction. Variant cover is still hasn't announced yet. This one is you will get to witness the origin of Inferno and what role he'll play in the global Inhuman power structure. That's pretty much all I got on that one.
Well, I went with one that's actually in my pull list, Uncanny Avengers number 17. The Avengers Assemble, but are they too late? The Twins' revenge on Kang is complete, but at what cost? Planet X is born.
Oh, no.
And I'll tell you what, some of these are part of the Marvel Now or Marvel All New Now. The nice thing with them is pick up the physical copy, because you get, especially if you've got the Marvel Now,
you get both, right?
You get both, the physical copy and the digital for the $3.99, instead of just paying $3.99 for the digital copy. You might as well, bang for the buck. If you're going to do that, just go ahead and go to the, if you can get to a comic book store, get both. It's a 2-for-1 deal.
But it's the same thing, Mike.
Yeah, but
twice.
But taking the comic book on an airplane could be hassle if you got a tablet or your phone or Wi-Fi on the plane for your computer.
Okay.
So,
I'll let you go with that.
So you're number three.
Number three is Superior Spider-Man number 28, and this one is Dan Slott, of course. And let's see, this one has goblins, spiderlings, supervillains, giant robots. It can only mean one thing: assault
Transformers.
It's assault and Pepper on Spider Island. If you want to see people standing around and talking, read another comic. Get it out of here. Go read something else. You want to see your superheroes having a fist fight? Just throw it away. Go somewhere else. You're in the Goblin Nation, and this is all out war.
GWO for life. Little old school wrestling there. My third pick is Guardians of the Galaxy number 12. It is part 4 of the Trial of Jean Grey. A surprise ally from one of the characters' past comes to help, but is that enough against the most powerful army in the universe? Well, they do have Batista as Drax, so that might be enough. Especially when the beast is unleashed. So, this weekend, tomorrow, unless you're catching the podcast, then today, or unless you're listening to the podcast later in the week, this past Sunday.
Cover all your bases.
Yes, covering them all. We have the Great American Race. Is that what, or is that Indianapolis?
I think that's Indianapolis.
Yes. It's the Super Bowl.
This would be the Great American Race.
Yeah. Also, the Super Bowl of motorsports.
That starts at the beginning of the year.
It is the Daytona 500, and our Grand Marshal is Cap himself. Chris Evans.
I was going to say Johnny Storm, but
it was probably the better choice for Johnny Storm. But we'll save that for the back end of the hour. He will be there to utter those four famous words: "Drivers, start your engines." And then he will also be introduced at the driver's meeting, participate in pre-race ceremonies, and ride in one of the Grand Marshal cars during the pace laps prior to the green flag for the historic 200-lap, 2.5-mile course, 500-mile race known as all the Daytona 500.
All on the Marvel Disney not owned channel Fox.
True. That's right. Well, NASCAR goes back to, but after about 12 races, it goes back to ESPN. No, ESPN does not get it this year. NBC gets it. It's NBC, right?
Something like that. I don't know.
Wow, that's a mistake on ESPN's part. It just opens up more time for spelling bees and poker.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. Spelling bees.
That's gonna be pretty cool. Seeing Cap. So it makes me wonder how much, because we know the drivers, with certain sponsors, they'll do tie-ins with the movies. Mm-hmm. Will we see a Captain America car or a Winter Soldier car this weekend or at the 500? Would we see one prior to the movie coming out in April? I would think it'd be cool. I mean, there were quite a few cars who did it with Star Wars. I know there's been quite a few with other movies. Let's hope. Because a Winter Soldier car, a Captain America car, that would be pretty awesome to see. I mean,
it would be pretty darn cool.
And with Captain America, what do? The stealth suit that, you see in most of the trailer, or do you go with the traditional look? Or do you have a car with both? One car with one and one car with the other.
Tune in and find out.
We'll just have to see. So, we're up against a break. So, we will see you on the other side. So, remember, you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks on Sorcerer Radio with your hosts, Mike and Ken.
So, I think I have everything. Shoes, hat, sunscreen, phone, tickets. Oh, okay, there they are. There's one more thing.
And if you're planning that long-awaited trip to Disney World, we have got the tips for you.
Ah, there it is. Can't leave without hearing the latest Disney trip tips before my Disney vacation.
Disney trip tips Friday at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites mixed in with some of today's best music. And tips on visiting Walt Disney World. Disney trip tips, Sorcerer Radio, srsounds.com.
The best-kept secret for getting deluxe Disney accommodations at a substantial savings is dvc-rental.com. You don't have to own a Disney Vacation Club to stay in one of their deluxe villas. Visit dvc-rental.com and ask Scott how to get your deluxe Disney resort booked for your next Disney trip. dvc-rental.com.
Hey, don't forget to send me a postcard from the Muppet Studios.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I can't do that, Walter.
But Gary,
because you're coming with us!
Book your next Disney vacation with Kristen Hetzel of Magical Journeys Travel, an unconventional agency for the unconventional client. Magical Journeys is dedicated to finding the best pricing for your next magical journey.
Wait a minute. I love that idea.
Kristen will work hard to save you money and give you the quality of service you deserve. As a well-established agency and an authorized Disney vacation planner, Magical Journeys Travel has many years in the travel industry and dealing with the infamous Disney reservation system. Let Kristen help you plan your next magical journey. To book travel or for a free quote, please contact Kristen Hetzel at www.magicaljourneystravel.com/Kristen. Follow her on Twitter at Kristen Hetzel.
All right. Come on, everybody.
Magical Journeys, an authorized Disney vacation planner.
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app, version 3.0. We have the technology. Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices, as well as Android devices.
stronger, faster. Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features. And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio. With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
And welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks on Sorcerer Radio. I'm your host, Mike, and joining me again is Ken.
Hello, again.
Toy Fair was this past week. And, of course, major excitement, big news. It's where all the toy companies come and go, blah, look at our new toys for the year.
Here's our stuff.
This be it. So, Marvel, at least the Hasbro side of things, I do have pictures on BBGeeks.net of the Hasbro Marvel offerings for this upcoming year, for 2014. And, but first, let's discuss a little Marvel Lego.
A little.
They have, quite a bit coming out. They got sets coming out for the Amazing Spider-Man movie. Well, actually, no, it looks like, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah,
there's a helicopter set.
Yep.
There's a X-Men versus Sentinel Lego set.
Fun.
The box just says Marvel X-Men. It does not make any reference to the movie. But I'm sure everything's based on the movie.
Is that a Legends set?
What's that?
Do you know? Marvel Legends set. Or is that just a regular... Oh, no. Legend is the figures. I think the Hasbro figure or the Marvel figures itself, not right. The Legos. Sorry.
There's a... let's see... there's an Iceman and Spider-Man minifigs. Let's see, what else is there? The picture of this helicopter looks amazing.
Spider-Man, Spider-Copter?
Yeah.
The Spider-Helicopter, why does he need a helicopter?
So,
Avengers Assemble Hulk Lab.
Yeah, that thing looks sweet, dude. I really like it. I like what they've done with Cap himself as well, with the minifigs.
That's another set, the Captain America versus Hydra.
Yeah.
Lego set.
MODOK in the set looks amazing. This huge oversized head on the Lego minifig. Absolutely amazing. Falcon looks very cool. The X-Men stuff looks... I mean, it looks okay. The Iceman's Spider-Man... See, I think it would have been really cool if they did Iceman in the translucent.
Oh, yeah, they didn't.
Yeah, instead of painting, but more give him more of a crystalline look. Mm-hmm. That would have been super sharp.
Tell you what, the Green Goblin looks cool.
Yes. I'm still impressed with MODOK. I mean, I'm not a MODOK fan, but
this giant's cranium.
My lord, I want this minifig. The Captain America versus Hydra set. That's actually not too bad. I like the Hydra vehicle. I like how Cap, instead of the normal bike, they have him with the knobby tires. It's a slightly different bike. Well, I've got quite a few of the bikes from the past. And I actually like this bike. Just wish there was a way you can mount the shield on the front like the old TV series.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
That would be cool. Goblin looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that supposed to be Mary Jane, or is that supposed to be...
Yes, that is Mary Jane.
Ah, the Love Spidey shirt.
Yeah. She has a heart-shaped Spider-Man face on her shirt.
Now, I'm assuming this is the X-Men Jet. It's an early version. It doesn't look too bad.
No, it's not bad.
I like a lot of the pieces.
It's a little oblong in the front, but...
Definitely looks like there are some custom pieces for this particular set that you probably won't find on other sets. And they're pretty nice. It's an amazing looking ship. What else? This Doc Ock van. It's okay.
The heist truck.
Yeah,
why does Doc Ock need a heist truck?
Don't know. Weird,
yeah.
It would have been better if they did a translucent. I mean, just like the head, if they did the body the same way.
Yeah.
It would have been perfect. It would have been ideal.
Instead of having a painted body.
Yeah, yeah. Still do the paint on top of the translucent.
Block with the paint, yeah.
You still do it on the translucent, but... Yeah. I can't tell if they're making Iceman a good guy or a bad guy here. The other news from the Hasbro side, could Hasbro possibly put out a spoiler?
Yeah, there is a
twist, and this twist is kind of a doozy.
Warning: spoiler alert.
Apparently, there is a Red Skull figure in with the Captain America Winter Soldier stuff.
Right. Which also ties in with Robert Redford revealing that he was playing a villain.
So is this Robert Redford being possessed by Red Skull? And his character becomes Red Skull?
So what happened to Hugo Weaving?
Don't know. Maybe he wasn't available for the movie, or he wasn't.
Could it be because of the story, the type of storyline? Like, does Red Skull say Red Skull's body was destroyed in the first movie?
Good to bet.
Was it into the Tesseract? And could have changed his appearance, or could have took over possession of who's the character's name that River's playing? Pierce, Alexander Pierce.
Yeah, something like that.
There's also a soundtrack listing somewhere that seems to confirm the big secret that Redford's character is Alexander Pierce, is the Red Skull.
Yes. So, they're saying a few likely suspected that the villain would be Red Skull. Still, it would be a riff on a twist from Brubaker's Captain America's run, which included a villain who was secretly possessed by the Red Skull.
Right. It'd be interesting to see how that happens.
Yes.
In the movie.
Yes. So, let's see. So yeah, that's the recap from Toy Fair. There's quite a bit. There's still other stuff from Marvel that I couldn't find or didn't get to. But the Lego stuff and the Hasbro stuff seem to be the biggest thing.
Yeah, with all the action figures are there. the hazardous stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
So now it's got me even more intrigued for April 4th. Wish it was here already. Just so we could go see Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely going to be exciting to see.
Nick Fury and Scarlet Johansson, Black Widow.
Black Widow, introduction of Falcon.
And, of course, the Winter Soldier.
So, and hey, maybe we'll know what happened to the Howling Commandos as well.
Maybe.
So.
Alrighty then.
So, did you happen to catch the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer?
I did. I did see that. The longer version.
The longer version. Did it make you feel? Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga. I can't stop this feeling
deep inside of me. Maybe just one or two ooga chakas.
You know, and of course, if you've seen the trailer, if you've seen the teaser from D23, they're playing that to death. And apparently, it's based on the trailer. It's also on Peter's Star-Lord's Walkman.
Yeah, when I first saw the movie trailer, I was like, I totally hate the music that they put in this trailer. But then I realized, well, they're trying to make it funny.
Yeah.
So they're trying to make it comedic. It's going to be comedic.
It's supposed to be comedic. But it's also Marvel's first space adventure.
Yeah. And I'm, like, blown away how Rocky Raccoon looks.
Oh, he looks amazing.
Yeah.
Groot looks pretty cool.
I was, you know, worried how they were going to pull off Rocky and just a rocket. I said Rocket. It just looks amazing.
The only criticism I'm expecting to hear about it is Rocket Raccoon is not a British accent. It's a normal American accent.
Yeah, it's Bradley
Cooper. Which is not how the character's been portrayed in the past.
Hmm. Yeah,
so,
I look past that. They just did an amazing job on
fireworks. Yes. To me, the beginning felt like it was an Indiana Jones type feel.
Right.
Or a Fifth Element type feel from the beginning of Fifth Element, where they take the, you know, take the idol, take the stones.
Mm-hmm.
And then Star-Lord. That's what, Chris Pratt?
Right, yeah.
To me, it almost has a Sean William Scott type character, you know, acting feel. It's like he almost took cues from Sean William Scott. And then the ship, Star-Lord's ship, absolutely amazing. I like the look of it. But it also kind of gave me a Star Trek vibe, like it's Marvel's version of Star Trek.
Really?
Sorta.
I don't know. It almost had a
Star Trek-ish vibe. You know, like with the whole interrogation, which I thought was funny. How, well, even maybe a Total Recall type feel. You know, when they're walking through the scanners.
But I
loved how Star-Lord, you know, is getting ready to make an obscene gesture. And it pops up. Obscene gesture. Intimate.
Yeah, a little blurry thing comes up on the screen.
Yeah.
Because
obscene gesture.
They're talking to,
is that Nova?
Yeah, Nova Corps. And that scene.
Yeah. Of course.
Zoe Saldana, she looks great.
Yes.
As always.
Yes.
And then Batista.
The Beast himself. Oh, he looks amazing.
Yeah.
And I was concerned. Okay, the man's heavily tattooed. How are they going to hide it? They did an amazing job.
They did an absolutely
amazing job.
Is she excited about seeing this? They did such a great job with the characters.
Hey, it's going to be
really nice.
Possibly a Mighty Marvel Geeks movie night.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Is Thanos going to be in this or not?
No. No.
Because he is... What's her name? Oh, my goodness. Forgot her name. Gamora's?
Gamora, yeah.
Adopted father, right?
I believe so. She's in it, and, of course, the Collector's in it. I wonder how much of the Infinity Gems is going to be in this. Because rumor has it Avengers 3 is going to be the Infinity Gauntlet.
Okay.
So, because, you also got to create the, Ultron to be a part of that, and you got to get the Vision involved.
Right.
It's just, it would be great if they were able to work out a deal with Fox for a Fantastic Four crossover so they could do it. But I don't see that happening.
I laugh at that. Dude.
Maybe.
Why would you even want that with the crappy people they just pulled for that?
Well, hold that thought. Before we get into what we talked about with the Fox crossover.
Corners.
Yeah. Guardians. Marvel did a nice little thing about getting up close and personal with the Guardians and their gear.
Mm-hmm.
Star-Lord, they start off with Peter Quill, the human Spartoy hybrid leader. He's a hybrid. He wears a signature helmet. It's kind of an off-putting helmet. It's the eyes from Kree, in Annihilation Conquest, Star-Lord number one. The helmet is almost like a space age, biker helmet, so to speak.
Okay.
It includes a universal translator as well.
It looks like, I don't know if anybody saw the movie Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
But in the, I think it's the second part
dream
of
sequence.
It.
Yeah.
When they're fighting the Nazis.
Yeah.
The Nazis kind of have a helmet and eyes that kind of look like that. Don't you think?
Yeah, a little bit. But it also has other strategy enhancing programs, giving Quill, his leadership a boost. Second is Gamora's God Slayer.
The God Slayer.
It's what? A weapon to be carried by the most dangerous woman in the galaxy. And it's only got one name, God Slayer.
She was giving it to us. Giving it. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Daddy gave it to her.
That adopted Papa Thanos gave it to her.
So, though she lost her preferred blade in a battle with Thanos, swords have remained her primary weapon of choice. So, Drax.
Swords are cool.
Drax his daggers. Basically, he went through a very minimal makeover. He traded his purple cape. Capes are bad.
Capes are bad. In the fight. Yeah.
For leather pants and added a pair of knives to his deadly repertoire. His transformation took place on Earth. The knives were initially of terrestrial origin. Since then, Drax has replaced his twin weapons with something more exotic. Although he tends to keep those details for himself.
They were made in the Bahamas.
Could be. Now, Rocket, the little raccoon that could, his laser pistols. And to me, this screams Buccaneer all over it, or Pirateer. I mean, what else can you say? The pistols are it. If it's not the pistols, it's the missile launchers.
The dual pistols.
Whereas, Groot, you've got his roots. But hey, when you're a giant walking tree, what else do you need? It's your roots.
Just roots.
So, check out Marvel.com, and you'll find the story or the article called, Get Up Close and Personal with Guardians of the Galaxy's Gear. And you'll find more of their gear. You'll read more about their information about the gear and references on where you can see it.
Yeah, which comic books they were appeared in.
So, Fantastic Four. I mean, can we say drop the bomb? We already knew Michael B. Jordan was going to be the Human Torch. But it was released that Kate Mara from House of Cards will join as Johnny's sister, Sue Storm.
Makes total sense.
It doesn't make sense.
That's what I'm saying. That was being facetious.
Miles Teller will... where is he playing?
It'll be Reed Richards.
That's right.
Because he is a father figure to the group. Yeah.
Now, to me, this one doesn't make sense at all. Jamie Bell is the thing. Well, no.
Tiny?
He's not. He's a lightweight, and he doesn't have the...
Let me put it to you in the bottom
brute
line.
Force.
Zero business being the thing.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Michael B. Jordan has zero business being Johnny Storm.
At this point in time, Trank has zero business doing this film. Fox at this point in time has zero business doing this film.
Change something up.
Because he wants to make a name for himself.
Just because...
What we have here with Trank... in this cast, is Marvel's Michael Bay. I said it. I put it out there. I refuse to take it back.
Well, look.
Trank is Marvel's Michael Bay.
It's not a racist thing or a racial thing in saying this. It's that for 40 years, or however many years, you've had this set comic book, and... Johnny and Sue are siblings.
Right.
Straight up. So now they're breaking that apart. And Reed has always been the patriarch.
There's no details on how the relationship will be presented in this reboot with Johnny and Sue. Though many suspect adoption or half-parentage will come into play.
So
the parents had Sue and Johnny from previous marriages, and then they got married, and they're half siblings.
Yeah, I mean, but
then if that's the case, then did it just happen to be coincidence that both parents still had the last name Storm? I don't think so.
Really. Are we talking about because they're just trying to be diverse? Is that it?
I think that's what it is. They're trying to be diverse with
it. It's got no business being in that.
If you're going to be diverse, then both Johnny and Sue need to be of a different race.
The same race.
Well, that's what I meant. Same race. Different race from Caucasian.
Right.
But they need to be of the same race. I mean, they're brother and sister. So, before we go any further, we're out of time.
What?
Yeah.
Say it's not so.
We can bring this up again next week, but feel free to shoot us an email at show@webegeeks.net. And if you have any comments or concerns. And until next week.
This has been a BB Geeks production.